Blog Talk Radio.
I would say happy Thursday, but it's not a happy Thursday.
No.
Oh, no, that's not cute.
That is not cute. What?
Oh, welcome to lunch with, oh my God, is it Friday yet, Ginger and Corey?
Is it Friday yet, Corey?
Oh.
I need it to be Friday.
Oh, God. What is going on with BT? Okay, let me give us some of this. You know what? Here's what we need. I just want stuff down in my pocket.
Yes.
I need some applause this morning.
Yes, yes, we do. We do need some applause this morning, people.
What is going on? The world is topsy-turvy. No, it's not. Okay, so anyway, hope you guys are having a better Thursday. I know some of you are probably experiencing the, oh my God, is it over yet?
I know, and most of y'all are getting ready because there's a 3-day weekend coming up, and everybody's all excited.
No, because it's Easter, and it's not one of those holidays. Some of you don't like going to church at all.
That is true.
You've got to go, because if you don't, grandmothers will be calling aunts, people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where were you? We were there. You were not there. I was sitting in the back. No, you weren't.
Or better yet, this is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Missed you at church Sunday. Mm-hmm. God don't like ugly. Mm-hmm. Supposed to mean. You don't come to church. God don't like it. I'm pretty sure he knew I wasn't coming to church years ago. So he's already mad. The damage is done. hope you guys are doing better than we are today. We're going to give you some good news. Anyway, there's tons of good news. However, what I'm about to start with is not good news for some of you. Is it? Can I go first, Ginger? I didn't even ask her. How rude of me. That's not proper news etiquette. May I, Ginger? May I?
You may. I'm trying to get, oh my God, trying to get something to close. There we go.
Oh, okay. So those of you who are all excited about your Portal 2, or you hate it, are probably not very happy this morning. PlayStation Network is down for maintenance in both the UK and the US on the same day that the cross-platform Portal 2 launches on the PlayStation 3 in Europe. Ouch. Now, although the Xbox 360 version of Portal uses Portal 2 uses the normal Xbox Live servers, the PlayStation 3 uses Steam, and as a result is able to connect with the PC and Mac versions of the game for co-op play. The title is the first PlayStation 3 game to use such a feature, which has been working since the launch of the title on Tuesday. Although the whole PlayStation Network is down and Portal 2 is unable to log in users as a result, the European PlayStation blog acknowledges the problem with the following message. It says, we're aware that our network is down. Quit tripping. No, no, that's not what it said. It says, we're aware certain functions of PlayStation Network are down. We'll report back as soon as we can with more information. We'll also provide updates when we can via our at PlayStation EU Twitter feed. Thank you so much for your continued patience. a similar message also appears on the U.S. blog with no indication of what the problem may be, although Hack Group Anonymous has been recently attacking Sony online services. The group recently announced that it would continue its protest by other means, so we don't know if it's them or not. And, of course, the lovely developers, this is from our friends at Games Industry Biz, Kevin Clark Patterson, who's a lecturer in games development over at Lancaster Morecambe College, is quoted as saying, what good is a cross-platform feature if you can't connect? Seriously, Sony.
True story.
Of course, there's some speculation that it might be PSN's integration with Steam. I don't know. When I pick it up, I don't even know what version I'll get. Somebody was nice enough to buy me Portal 1 for Steam. Thank you. Wait a minute. I don't have my Steam open, so I can't tell you the name.
Oh, that's... she can't even tell you who it was.
I know his real name. I don't want to say his real name on the air, but he's one of my homies. My homies, we play on the Steam, you know.
We call him Bob.
We call him Bob. Thank you, Bob. Actually, Bob and I haven't actually played a game together. I usually harass him while he's playing a game. Yeah, that's what I like to do. Sometimes I'm busy and I can't play, but I see you guys playing. I kind of play by proxy, so I harass him. But he bought me that. I'll consider it a birthday present. Thank you, Bob.
Aww. Your birthday is coming up, too.
Next week.
But Corey will be 22.
I will be 21 yet again for the 18th time.
Yet again for the 18th time? Okay. I knew it was something like that.
That's how I roll. There's people doing math. They're counting. Ta, ta, ta. Yeah, you do the math. It's still wrong, but go ahead.
Still wrong. All right. Well, since we're already wrong this morning, Corey, I think I got to be more wrong.
Stay wrong.
Garbage Truck Simulator.
Okay, I want it.
Yes. Excalibur Publishing cleans up with the release of Garbage Truck Simulator for PC CD-ROM. Garbage Truck Simulator invites you to start your own refuse business and keeps the streets clean in a living, breathing virtual city created in stunning 3D. 3D, everybody's in 3D. Take control of your own truck and head off across the city to fulfill your collection obligations. Drive the ultra-realistic garbage truck from task to task as you strive to generate an income. Drive carefully and keep the lid on your speed as police traps prove an expensive drain on your financial resources. Even though you are in the junk business, take care not to trash your truck, as thanks to a comprehensive damage modeling system, every dent and breakdown will require repair.
All right, breathe.
Yeah, my thing just crashed. I think I lost the story. There we go. I'm back. Okay. All right. Manage your collection crew and operate the intricately animated mechanisms for emptying and compressing your load into the back of the truck. Domestic and industrial waste, building rubble, and even dangerous chemical disposal are all in a day's work. Grow your business from the income for each load and become the trash tycoon of your city. Oh, my God.
I didn't want to play it. I'm sorry.
Invest your cash wisely and upgrade your truck from a choice of 5 models or tie up a deal to carry advertising on your vehicle. The choices are yours. Only the smartest operator will keep your garbage business out of the can as you live your dustbin destiny. Garbage Truck Simulator will be on the streets on the 20th of May, 2011, for $24.99. More information can be found at www.excalibur-publishing.com.
Interesting. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Ah, well. Look, we sound so dead. Ah, well. We're supposed to be picking the people up. They're all like, I listen to you to be excited. It's Thursday. We're working, too. That's why we sound this way.
Yes, yes, yes. We were working all night last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zilla. Okay, so I got something. I can't say. I don't know if are you putting that in the column? That's why I'm being all secretive.
I know. Oh. We can put that in the column. We can put that in the column.
All right, then I can put up those pictures of you wearing that crown. I can't even say what that is on daytime. I'll tell y'all later tonight what she was wearing last night. Okay, so Gadget Show Live 2012. Commenting on the success of this year's show, Matt Hodgins, head of the event at Upper Street Events, said the Gadget Show Live 2011 has proved to be an incredible event, with visitor numbers exceeding even our own expectations. The addition of GSL Professional has been overwhelmingly successful, providing the ideal environment for the UK trade to get together for a day of networking and business. And yes, I corrected your PR. That was terrible grammar. Plans are already well underway for 2012, with a further extension plan for the Game Zone and an increase in capacity for the Super Theater, as tickets were completely sold out within just a few weeks. Since we're also looking at the addition of further zones to support specific genres of tech, making navigation for visitors. Exhibitors have been delighted. That's another way to say excited. With both brand bill and ROI at the show, retailer GAME demonstrated their success at the Gadget Show Live 2011, and Neil Azars, head of the UK PR at GAME, or GAME as I said, is quoted as saying, the Gadget Show Live was a great success for us and was our top performing store of the week, which is a fantastic result. You can read the rest of this story up on our site. And of course, as you can probably tell, Gadget Show Live takes place over in the UK. Maybe you guys ought to look at extending that over this way. Texas, in particular, mm-hmm. we need us a gadget show.
Yes.
And y'all can stop looking at me, because every time I say that, I get a message from somebody, why don't you put it together? Look here, people.
There are only so many hours during the day and so many crazy projects that she can do. Y'all guys have no idea the crazy projects this woman is in.
I would love to put it together, but I'd have to completely switch to that. Is it Chinese or Japanese sleeping, where you sleep 4 hours and you're up 20 and then you sleep another 4 hours?
And,
whatever that is.
No.
Yeah. I tried that. It does work, but I think I was getting a little psychotic. When you start seeing gnomes and stuff, it's not good.
She was just then getting a little psychotic, people.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny, tiny little bit.
Just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we believe you. All right, my turn. Yay. And you stole my story for that one, so we'll close that one.
Oh, fine. Let me.
I totally am. All right. I don't know what's happening to the world of gaming, but Wrigley's gum is breaking their way in, apparently. Wrigley's 5 gum launches the 5 experience and the night jar. Wrigley, the UK's favorite chewing gum manufacturer, today announces the launch of the 5 experience, a new entertainment property from Wrigley's 5 gum, designed to push the boundaries of what's possible and deliver unique sensorial experiences in 5 distinct areas: gaming, music, film, art, and fashion. Oh yes, because we'll be wearing clothes made out of gum wrappers. Bringing together a series of exciting ways to explore and stimulate your senses, the first experience is a revolutionary audio iPhone app, The Night Jar, featuring the voice of Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes, and Warhorse. The Night Jar is a game with no video. It takes users on a journey of discovery as they are flung into the deepest, darkest space, stuck on a dying pitch-black spaceship with only their ears to guide them out alive. Leading advertising agency AMV BBDO came up with the idea for the 5 experience. It is designed to be a unique and completely immersive way for consumers to engage with the 5 brand and fully explore their senses like never before. For this first app, AMV BBDO chose to collaborate and develop the Night Jar with leading digital company Something Else, the same team that developed Papa Sangri, okay, whatever, the world's first audio-only iPhone game, which won Most Innovative Game at the International Mobile Gaming Awards. Yeah, all right, so it's, did they give me a date for release? The project kicks off in April of 2011, but they are not giving me, the Night Jar is free to download from the App Store and released on the 26th of April. You want more? You want more information, want to find out more about it, you can head over to the5experience.co.uk.
No.
No?
You can't make me.
I'm glad I can't.
Somebody wants to. I'm being bad today. Might as well. The day's already shot. Okay. So, those of you who are all into your Steam, as we were just talking about them, and now, you know what? Firefox is sucking as of late. Okay, here we go. Back. Valve is saying that their Steam sales data will remain private. It says none of your business. This is from our friends at GamePolitics.com. Valve says it will not be cooperating with various sales tracking firms who want to access the internet, who want access to their internal data from its digital distribution service. Speaking to MCV, Steam's Jason Holtman said that he's sharing the data would be counterintuitive if he released publicly, and that retaining it for developers and publishers only is the best option. So the idea of a chart is old. That is so last year.
Last year.
Said Holtman. He says it came from people trying to disaggregate information. What we provide to partners is much more rapid and perfected information. Valve provides publishers and developers with hourly updates of download figures. That's awesome. It says this allows those partners to measure the effectiveness of things like in marketing pushes and special offers. Again, excellent idea. I agree, Steam. Releasing that data on a monthly basis would be a mistake, according to Holtman. He says if you look back at the way retail charts have been made, they've been proven to be telling an inaccurate story. They apparently had shown how the PC format was dying when it was actually thriving. While research firms such as NPD Group and ChartTrack might not like the fact that it will not have access to the data for the biggest digital distribution platform in the world, Valve is only interested in helping companies it does business with via Steam. The point is not super important for a publisher or developer to know how well everyone is doing. What's important is to know exactly how your game is doing, why it's climbing and why it's falling, your daily sales, your daily swing, your rewards for online campaign number three. That's what we provide. And that is on Game Politics via GI.biz. I think that's an excellent idea, and it makes perfect sense to me, especially with them, because he's right. I'm sure their data changes rapidly within hours. The portal to download content we were telling you about earlier in the week, probably as soon as they released that, even though people were complaining, a lot of them probably bought it, and the sales data would look completely different than it did an hour before they released it.
Mm-hmm.
So, makes sense to me. I like it. Go for it, Steam.
Yay, Steam! Not so yay for Firefox.
Firefox is an epic fail today. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, but I can't get my page to open.
Does that mean I get another one?
You get another one. I'm staring at the page I was already on because it won't switch over.
All right. Well, I will share this with you that I just found, and some of you are apparently missing it because when I'm checking the figures on Virgin Mobile Gaming, it's only 78 of you that have shared this. So this is to my girls out there, you pro gamers. You want to prove yourself? You want some money? Well, you can win big, and to get your edge, Killzone 3 $40,000 challenge. Virgin Mobile Gaming PlayStation and Edge Shave Gel, although we don't really wear Edge Shave Gel, doesn't mean you can't take the money. They're setting you up to win big with the world's first KZ3 online tournament. They just want you to show them how sharp you are, and you'll be crowned the first ever Killzone 3 champion. And, of course, you get to take home the $40,000 prize pool. They're saying you can drop by their site and register virgingaming.com/KZ3. I don't see a date when they're going to stop accepting signups. And I will put all the rules at the bottom just because some of you out there will be all excited and not read them. But I'll put them up on our site in our contest section so you can check that out. You can also follow PlayStation about the giveaway on their Twitter that they've set up. It's called @HeyPlayStation. I'm looking forward, girls. I'm looking at you guys. Come on. Y'all get it together. Just because it's done by Edge doesn't mean you can't take the title. In fact, it would be awesome if you did because it looks like they're aiming it at the guys. Come on. Edge shaving gel? We can't even use that on our legs. So I say go in there and take it.
Mm-hmm. Take it. Take it. Take it. And then make them wear pretty pink panties afterwards.
Or make them use the Venus shaver.
Oh, yeah. Just not that one with the vibrator on it because that was just weird.
I would bring a bag of those, and as soon as I won, I'd start handing them out to the guys. You're my.
Mm-hmm. The leg shave.
Get them shaved, baby.
Get them shaved.
You know how we like it. Smooth legs, boys.
All right. It looks like Firefox is going to try to cooperate again. All right. Wargaming.net and Lesta announce exclusive strategic partnership. Wargaming.net, the award-winning video game developer and publisher behind world-famous franchises like Massive Assault Series, Order of War, and World of Tanks, along with Lesta, one of the leading Russian video game development and video production studios with Elements of War, Pacific Storm, and Aggression, Reign Over Europe, under their belt, announces today their exclusive strategic partnership and signing of a long-term co-development agreement. This new alliance offers an excellent opportunity for both companies to cooperate in mutually beneficial ways. Wargaming.net will expand their portfolio, shoring up their position on the MMO market, and will enlarge their distribution channel as a worldwide game publisher, while Lesta will benefit from using 12-year game development experience gained by Wargaming.net and will become a stronger player in collaboration with one of the industry's best development companies. Victor Kaisili, a CEO of Wargaming.net, says, "The decision to partner with Lesta is expanded by the studio's rich experience in developing war titles, established reputation, and impressive portfolio. The start of our cooperation will be an important milestone in the development of our company, and we feel very optimistic about the future prospects after seeing how dedicated and competent Lesta's team is." CEO of Lesta, Katajiv, said, "We're excited to be on the spearhead of the quickly evolving market of free-to-play online games, working with Wargaming.net, and will invest all this expertise and skills our company has into our future titles." The overall portfolio of Wargaming.net will now feature more than 20 titles highly acclaimed by media and players. So, way to go, Wargaming.net and Lesta. Yay!
Cool. Oh, you know, I'm just talking. I am just over here talking away and nobody can hear me.
Nobody can hear me.
Nobody can hear me. In space, nobody can hear you scream either. So, according to some other data, EMA, proud retailers for video games rating enforcement. Yeah. That's actually from later in the day yesterday. I'm not sure about this story. Bo Anderson, who's the president and CEO of Entertainment Merchants Association, yesterday applauded the efforts of video game and DVD retailers toward enforcing rating systems and keeping adult material out of the hands of teenagers. Both groups did pretty well in the latest undercover shot by the FTC. They didn't do well when we did it. which seeks to identify the level of ratings enforcement by leading retail video games, DVD, music retailers, and movie theaters. Anderson said the EMA is pleased with the leading performance of its members in enforcement of the video game ratings and the significant improvement in enforcement of DVD ratings. The credit for these improvements go to the individual retailers who have made ratings enforcement a part of their corporate culture. And in the case of video games, the ESRB and their ESRB Retail Council, these numbers demonstrate once again that the industry self-regulation can and does work, and there's no need for punitive government regulations such as the California video game law that the EMA and the Entertainment Software Association are currently challenging in the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm going to say it's not the retailers that's the problem, it's the parents. And yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. We'll discuss that later tonight if we have a chance. We have a guest on, so maybe we may not get too much into this, but yeah, it's not the people at the stores for the most part, except for Walmart, who I noticed was not mentioned in this study when I was reading who all they secret shopped. Did not mention Walmart. And Walmart is probably, they may not be the largest retailer, but a lot of people like myself who are up late at night and say, you know what, I decided I'm going to get this game, and Walmart's the only place I can get it at 3 in the morning, so I'm going now.
True story.
Yeah, and if you got somebody who's like me who happens to be a not-so-great parent who drags their kid out to Walmart at 3 o'clock in the morning and picks up a bad game, and then the next week their kid kills a whole mess of people, guess what happens?
Well, actually, just, you know, the game will get blamed. But.
The game will get blamed. So it's not us that's the problem. It's our parents. We need to educate them better.
Yes, we do. Parents, y'all need to quit being naughty out there.
Hey, and thank you for the person that just sent me a Twitter saying they added me to their mafia family. I don't really want to be in your mafia family, but thank you for considering me.
Mafia family. Yay!
That's what I always wanted.
all right.
Wow.
all right. So, yeah, bad story today. Well, actually, I don't know. Depends on how you look at it. Colorado Springs Gazette, and this is coming from GamePolitics.com. Colorado Springs police are offering a $5,000 reward for GameStop robbery suspect. Colorado Springs, Colorado police are offering a $5,000 reward for information that leads to the arrest of a man that stabbed a GameStop clerk on March 9th. Seriously, shallow gene pool should use bleach. The man is also responsible for three other robberies at Knife Point in the area, police say. The robberies occurred between March 9th and March 14th. Police say the robber stabbed a clerk during a March 9th robbery at GameStop at the GameStop store 3732 Bloomington Street in North Colorado Springs. Anyone with information is urged to call Crime Stoppers at 719-634-STOP, or you can text CSPD and your tip to 847-411 using a mobile phone. To qualify for the reward, you must call Crime Stoppers with the information that leads to an arrest and conviction, police say. There is a picture up on GamePolitics.com, and if you're in the area, you really should stop by and check this picture out, because this guy looks like he'd be fairly recognizable if you knew him.
Maybe you should grab that and put that up. Let's make the rounds around Twitter. He needs to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You don't screw with us gamers, people.
And God help him if he was a gamer. You are really going to get hurt.
Heck yes. Heck yes. Yes, yes.
That's just, I understand times are hard, people, but come on, don't stab people.
No.
It's bad enough you steal, but you got to stab people? That's disgusting. I hope they put you under the jail. So as my grandmother says, I hope they put him under the jail. He needs to be under. Not in a hole. They just need to lift it up and drop it on him. That's what I hope happens to you. All right. That's upsetting. I'm sorry. I'm like, give me a minute. Whew. Breathe.
Breathe, Corey. Breathe in and breathe out.
All right. Well,
breathe in.
Did I forget to breathe? Mm-hmm. Oh, I was breathing out. You're right. This causes hyperventilation. Okay. So you've been hearing us talk about Activision this week, saying, you know, they will survive Guitar Hero. First it was Guitar Hero was gone. Now it's just on hiatus and so on and so forth. Well, gamesindustry.biz, who I'm loving way too much as of late, talked about an internal memo from CEO Eric Hirschberg, and it said they're shedding some light on the publisher's strength of belief in Call of Duty. They're saying the steady growth of which is a sign of their continued longevity. Two memos were leaked to U.S. gaming site Giant Bomb. Hi, Giant Bomb. I like that. One of them stated it was from Hirschberg, and another is from someone else at the company, unnamed so far. Hirschberg's memo takes the form of a Q&A, and one of the first questions on the list is they're asking, isn't Call of Duty today just like Guitar Hero was a few years back? Didn't think about it. He says this is a great question and one we've thought about a lot. He says, but there are several key differences between the two franchises worth considering. Guitar Hero quickly reached incredible heights, but then it began a steady decline. Call of Duty, on the other hand, has steadily grown every single year of its seven-year existence. I did not know it was 7 years old, gotta tell you. Call of Duty certainly has seen sustained growth since 2004, but it was Modern Warfare which really kicked the series into high gear, culminating in Black Ops 5.6 million day one sales across the U.S. and the U.K. Wow. One of the major factors in securing and maintaining that audience, said Hirschberg, is the online community. Guitar Hero was a new genre. It had incredible appeal, but it had not stood the test of time. Call of Duty exists in a genre of first-person shooters that has shown remarkable staying power and wide appeal over a period of decades. Plus, Call of Duty has inspired a massive, persistent online community of players, making it perhaps the stickiest game of all time. But the golden goose will not feed itself. Hirschberg is keen to highlight the dangers of complacency, warning that without innovation, Call of Duty would easily stagnate and falter. That innovation, he says, is something not in short supply as a publisher. That's not something which is always given proper recognition. I got to tell you, the biggest downfall for Guitar Hero was one that had started out on the Guitar Hero. You guys probably should have tried to do the whole Rock Band thing from day one. And two.
Yes.
And two, I've been saying this for years since it was released. As soon as the game did well, hello.
I'm sorry.
Girl, you can't just be going away. But the two I said, the first thing they should have done when they realized it was successful was actually do a tour like a Rock Band. I mean, they were doing the commercials like it was a rock commercial, but you should have actually gone on tour and let players compete to win cash. We'll come out in droves for cash. Get your band together, your whole look. And call it the Guitar Hero Tour and let people come out and do their best song. And then the winners get to go perform at Madison Square Garden or something. That's just, I'm just saying, who wouldn't have wanted to do that? If I win, I get to go perform in front of millions of people, mostly gamers, of course. And then I win a prize based on the high score and the audience votes or something. I don't know. I said that years ago.
They should do that. They should totally do that.
I would go.
Heck yeah, hell yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd perform and everything. I got my whole look worked out. got my eye patch. Y'all know loves me an eye patch. I got my eye patch ready, my ruffled shirt.
I was going to ask whether or not you're going to wave the fluffy cakes around.
Yes, the fluffy. Well, I have the fluffy cakes. See, it'll be a ruffled shirt. It'll be high collar, but it'll be open right where the fluffy cakes are.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. The guys would be like, she performed? We vote her.
Fluffy cakes. I just have average fluffy cakes. So no, they would perform. My legs. I got a nice leg. So we work the legs. Okay. You work our assets.
I love this idea. Let's do this.
I said they should do it way back when the game was first released. Sitting right in my house. I said, why don't they do this? Because I would so be there. And I know people that love it. I tell you also why this came to be. I don't remember where I was, so many game conferences, but they were actually doing that. They had a contest, and people were coming up as a band and as a group and performing, and they were enjoying it. There was a really big crowd there. So I said, if they would just throw this together in a big format, excellent. People would come out in droves to perform and to watch. Especially people you don't like, you're hoping, oh, I hope she missed a note. She can't sing that part.
Nah, she sung that part?
She can't play that part. Oh, awesome. Come on, people. Think. See, that's why y'all need women at your company. Y'all don't think about stuff like this.
No, no, they don't. They don't think about that.
What y'all think about is Edge shaving gel to come and sponsor your content.
Seriously. And I've shaved with that stuff before. That is not good. That is. I don't know how you guys do it. Now I know why y'all have, like, the whole 5 o'clock shadow, because y'all are doing it wrong. All wrong.
So y'all need some women at your company. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I do like Call of Duty. I just I was never hardcore about it. I think I played, I lied. That was Ghost Recon. I'm sorry, Call of Duty. I'm sorry. I lie. I'm a Ghost Recon girl. I must say. Mm-hmm. What you got?
I have got our Texas Entertainment's MMO Adventure Quest. Oh, yes. The Artex Entertainment, the indie game development studio that delivers download-free browser-based RPGs to 130 million users, announced today that its debut in the world of television crime dramas. For the first time in the company's history, one of their hit MMO RPGs, the Adventure Quest Worlds, appears in a television series, the new Canadian crime drama series Endgame. I'm not quite sure if this is going to be a good thing. Endgame is an original drama series that airs new episodes every Monday at 10 p.m. ETPT on the Showcase channel in Canada. The show is about a legendary chess player turned mystery sleuth, Arkady Balagan. Oh, come on, people, the names. Arkady Balagan, who uses his extraordinary skills of perception and strategic thinking to solve crimes that have stumped others. Fearful Symmetries, the episode showing Adventure Quest Worlds, originally aired Monday, April 18th on the Showcase. The episode will air again on Sunday, April 24th at 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. ETPT. In this episode, the Davis family's car is firebombed, and it's up to Arkady Balagan to figure out who wants the Davis family dead. Among a lying husband, a shoplifting wife, and a bullied 14-year-old son named Colin, who spends all day playing Adventure Quest Worlds, the mystery sleuth realizes there are plenty of potential suspects. Over 14 million of Artex Entertainment's 130 million gamers are residents of Canada who can access the Showcase channel and enjoy watching how Adventure Quest Worlds helps advance the episode's plot. The game plays an important role in the storyline as the mystery unfolds. A major clue is revealed on the Adventure Quest Worlds screen. I don't know anything about this, but it sounds kind of cool. The Artex Entertainment team and community are extremely excited about Adventure Quest World's first appearance in a TV show. The boy featured in the episode was obsessed with video games, had slipping grades, no real-life friends, and was picked on in school. So I was really able to relate to his character, says Adam Bone, CEO, president of Artex Entertainment, with a laugh that abruptly ended in awkward silence. Come on, y'all are making us look bad. For more information about Adventure Quest Worlds, please visit www.aq.com. I don't know what to think about that. Not all gamers are...
Well,
rant. You know, some of us have boobs, and, you know, there are some of us that, you know, are hot, and, you know... I've met ones that are doctors and nurses and nuns and police, and gamers are not 14-year-old boys living in their mother's basement.
Well, some are.
And we
and those are the ones that we want mm-hmm. to get rid of. No, I'm kidding.
We don't all own katanas, though some of us do.
I do.
Mm-hmm. I many only others
look
at knives.
Look at other sharp, pointy things.
Yes, don't go around Corey. She will cut you. She's not joking.
I keep saying that. They don't believe me. Okay, so those of you with your iPhone and iPad, you are not paranoid.
Yay.
They are after you. Yeah.
They are?
Yes.
No, you can't have me.
Yes. Washington Post reported yesterday that researchers Pete Warden and Alistair Allen says they're looking for a way to to visualize the data. They were looking for a way to visualize mobile data. Why can't I talk? Mobile data.
But
they stumbled across a file on the iPhone and iPad 3G that records locations and time stamps. Digging deeper, the research has found that the file file, which is called consolidated.db, it's a database file, in case you didn't know, contained the data for just about everywhere Alan had been since upgrading to the iOS 4. The same was true of Gordon's file. Yes, the data logs information across devices and it syncs. It's not clear what triggers the data collection. The men theorize that it could be text messages, calls, or traveling between cell towers. Since data isn't being collected from every place they've walked through, they believe that the information is being collected deliberately, but they do not know why. They have contacted Apple's production security team, but have not received a reply, and Apple did not immediately respond to a request for a comment on the post up on the Washington Post. The researcher said that the iPhone and iPad 3G owners can encrypt their backups through iTunes to address the issue. There's no indication that it's being transmitted beyond a user's own devices, the researchers emphasized in a video up on the Washington Post explaining the file, but the data is not encrypted or protected, so if your phone is stolen, the information would be easy to extract. Warden and Allen have created a program to allow users to look at their own data. They said they hesitated over whether or not to make the information public, but decided that people should know about the data. To address concerns about their app, they watered down the accuracy of the data the app visualizes and have promised that their app does not transmit the information. Warden and Allen will be announcing their discovery at the Wear 2.0 location conference Wednesday of next week. Alan, if you want to know who they are, is a senior research fellow at Extra University, and Warden is actually a former Apple employee. Ooh.
Ooh.
Both men said they are big fans of Apple's products and take no pleasure in uncovering the issue. For a complete explanation of the discovery and the program, you can check out their video, which I'll have up on our site in just a few seconds for you here. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. Apple, Apple, Apple. This could be bad, and I got Apple products in my house. You know what I wonder? Now I'm scared. Does it sync with other objects in your mind?
Is it
just Apple products? Because, yeah.
I don't like this, and I know somebody who's listening to the show, calm down. Calm down.
Breathe. It's okay. I'm going to put the video up. You can figure out how to take care of it. It's okay. Oh, my. Some of you are a little high-strung.
We're going to end up having one of those. What was that movie where you end up living in the bunker for 20 years?
Yeah, that could be Fallen Earth. That could be
a movie, something about bomb. They lived in the bunker for 20 years. You thought the world was ended. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Retro, something like that's the name of it. I forgot.
It was something weird.
I was about to say Back to the Future. That's not it either.
No. That person knows what I'm talking about. We were talking about this the other day.
Yes.
All right. media alert. UK player hailed tournament champion. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment today announced that Ryan Neal, 18, from Bury St. Edmunds, won both the UK and European Mortal Kombat tournaments, winning an arcade machine. Oh, that's cool. Championship belt and trip to Chicago to visit the NetherRealm Studios, developer of the highly anticipated award-winning game. Taking place at the UK's largest consumer electronics show, the Gadget Show Live, the competition was held in front of thousands of gamers at Mortal Kombat's Spectacular Fight Arena, staged in the Over 18 gaming zone. Players entered by participating in qualifying rounds taking place throughout March and April at various game stations and game stores throughout UK. Both tournament finales were hosted by Total Rock's very own gamer, Julia Hardy. Awesome, and I'm hoping to actually find some pictures of this because that actually sounds kind of cool. I am loving the idea that they gave him an arcade machine. That is just cool.
Yes, somewhere floating around the web is me hugging a Galaga machine. Somebody has that picture, send it to me. I want it. I only have my top half hugging it, but I was doing some different things to that machine, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, where I was thinking that comment was going.
I don't mind.
oh, my goodness.
Loves me some. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to move along.
Can I grab a second one since that one was short, or do you want to go on?
You can grab a second one if you like.
All right, Left Behind Games plans lawsuit against PC AOB. Christian video games publisher Left Behind Games announced today that its plans announced today that it plans to file a lawsuit against the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board. The company says that justification for the suit stems from numerous claims that the PCAOB failed to notify OB Games and its shareholders relating to matters involving its former auditor dating back as far as June 30th of 2009, while remaining silent on such matters until January 19th, 2011. Ouch, that's a long time. According to LB Games, the PCAOB's decision to settle with the former auditor resulted in LB Games' audited financials losing their compliance status. Further, LBG alleges that for more than a year and a half, the PCAOB never contacted LB Games regarding problems it knew could interfere with operations or its ability to raise capital. Nor did the PCAOB reach out to LB Games in any attempt to resolve problems that it had with its former auditor, even with the full knowledge LB Games was the auditor's only client. Chief Executive Officer Troy Linden, I did not just say that, said it is one thing to lose the compliance status over improper accounting. It's another to lose it because someone at the PCAOB could reduce their workload at the expense of our investors. We don't understand how it was easier for a former auditor and the PCAOB to enter into a settlement agreement than to have an inspection meeting, especially because in preparation for our amended 10-K last year, we submitted more documents to our former auditor than in any audit in the company's history. Here's a former Ernst and Young lead auditor. This was not a matter of shoddy work. It was a settlement for convenience at our expense. How could letting an auditor off the hook from providing documentation ever be construed as looking after the best interest of investors? The company added that it is currently evaluating damages resulting from the PCAOB's action, which is currently delaying LB Games' ability to receive funds from the $10 million financing deal that it signed on February 2011. Ooh, I'd be mad too. Get them.
Okay. Oh boy, it is time for us to take a break. Before we do, it is ironic that you say that. I somehow managed to end up on Neil Patrick Harris's wiki. Don't ask how. You know how you guys surf, you end up there. But I just remembered last night, while those men are asleep, I saw his new commercial for Xfinity, and I must give Xfinity credit for at least giving a nod to gamers. If you haven't seen the commercial, you could probably pop over to their site and see it, but the whole thing is about how he has this whole team of people that help him be whoever he is, be Neil Patrick Harris, and he says to a couple of assistants, you know, you do this, you do that, and you finish him, and it's a woman holding a controller playing, apparently, Mortal Kombat. I was like, thank you, Xfinity. That was nice of you. Now stop cutting my connection.
Oh, anyway. No, did you get cut?
No. Well, no. Or what was it? No, that was you earlier today. Wasn't me today. But I'm sure one's coming. It happens every day.
It wasn't even Time Warner this time. I can't even blame them. It's flipping Firefox. Ugh.
You know, I think it's a conspiracy amongst all of them. That's what I think.
I think so, too. I think that we're just so awesome that they're having they're capping our internet because they cannot handle all our awesomeness.
You are right. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who are listening live, sorry, but you'll have to download the portion later to hear the rest of the news. Those of you who aren't listening live will hear us come back in just a second or two. And Ginger is sending me dirty messages, you all should know.
Totally. Oh my god, some of those pictures from last night. Did I show you all the ones from last? Oh.
Gamer prawn.
Gamer prawn or not. Pixelated spot.
You know what, you're going to get cut. Now I have nothing to do with that. So anyway, you can find this news and other news at our site, GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and make sure you pop by the site often. We have lots of good juicy stuff up all day, every day.
Oh, right about last night.
And those of you who are back on the site trying to get your old Betsy keys, relax, we see the orders. They're being filled.
Please breathe.
Deep breath in, out. In through the nose, out through the mouth.
Yes, 42.
I love you, Link.
Oh.
All right, enough of Link. I'm having some problems. Ooh, I may have to go play some Legend of Zelda. I don't even care what platform it's on. It don't really matter.
Yeah, I had a conference. I'm going to keep myself.
Yes, you do that. Ooh, so I hadn't hit anybody else. Love me some. I love you, Link. I have your virtual babies. Okay, I'm just guessing that it is my turn.
Yeah, maybe your turn.
Let me clear my throat. Yes.
You sure?
One moment. So I have popped over to, we have new friends every week, called TNW. That's thenextweb.com. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Well, they are reporting there is a new game coming out from a company called Gabanga. And I think this is brilliant, to be all UK-ish, absolutely brilliant. They have created an API, and it wants developers to hack away and to actively modify the gameplay, contribute to the game content and more, and effectively creating a completely unique gaming experience. They're saying they're based around gamifying your surroundings. So as you walk around in real life, you'll be presented with nearby challenges such as finding and collecting special items or competing with others for virtual territory. As you play, you can earn points, move up the leaderboard, and with occasional real sponsored prizes on offer too. That's what I'm talking about. Now, the Swiss team behind Gabanga is opening it up to the imagination of the crowd. The majority of gaming experiences are the sole realization of their respective game development studio, says the studio's Matthias. I'm sorry. I think I know this person. Matthias Sala? Ooh, I don't want to say where I know you from. Okay, so no doubt the designers of these games... No power on earth. Keeping that to myself. Okay, so no doubt the designers of these games had great fun creating their worlds and stories. However, the playing community has always shown an interest in contributing their own content. Gabanga's Puppeteer API and Quest Design Kit tools allows them to achieve just this. So to promote the new developer tools, Gabanga is taking part in a hackathon at the Next Web Conference in Amsterdam next week. Coders are invited to create quests, side quests, extensions, mini games, mashups, and mobile clients. And you can find a full list of details of Gabanga's development tools here. Sorry, I had to do that. actually, let me go ahead and give you the URL. It is gabanga.com, and that is G-B-A-N-G as in girl A.com/hackathon/. They are currently... they said their app is currently available for iOS and Java-enabled handsets. Mm. And I said something that sounded very Canadian then, their app. Did I just say that? Their app?
Who have you been hanging around that's Canadian?
I know lots of them Canadians. Those boys over at Radioactive. Yeah, and those boys over at Radioactive, they're freaking Canadians. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. They took it.
Living in their igloos. They've run the cable into their igloos.
You're going to give us cut, okay?
Ah, I love you guys.
Wake up with a knife to my throat. Or a Wiimote to my throat.
They can hold a Wiimote to my throat as long as they bring me some maple candy.
Oh, no, ma'am. Out of control. Those of you who follow us on Facebook, I did share the story, so you'll follow it. You'll get it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Fable 3 for Windows to be available via Steam at launch. Oh, yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! Choice has always played an important role in the world of Fable, and PC fans will have even more choices than ever without the consequence. Microsoft Game Studios and Lionhead are happy to announce that Fable 3 for Windows will be available through Valve Corporation's Steam distribution platform, in addition to games from Windows Marketplace and in retail stores simultaneously. I love that, so I don't have to go to Walmart midnight. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm not happy. Did they say you won't get any of the consequences we got? Because they were harsh, my consequences for my game. I liked it, but really harsh. I lost half my kingdom, and you're not going to have to go through that? I don't think that's right, Val.
No. And I'll be waving my kingdom in front of you, Nina, 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 Nina.
You better hope there's no cross-platform where I can't come in your game. I'm going to kill half your kingdom. I'm going to massacre people.
Speaking of that game you got me addicted to, did you see my level? Fable 3 will be available for pre-order on both Steam and Games for Windows Marketplace starting 21st of April. Fans who pre-order through Games for Windows Marketplace will receive Fable Lost Chapters, the start of the Fable saga, for free. And those who purchase on Steam will receive the Rebels Weapon and Tattoo Pack, a collection of 4 exclusive weapons and 5 exclusive tattoo sets to customize their Rebel hero. Fans can also purchase the game in all 3 locations at launch on the 20th of May for, £34.99 for
Linden's.
Shells, Linden dollars. I don't know what it is. But they do say that no matter how players decide to purchase Fable 3, they will have access to the same exciting content as Xbox 360 players, including riveting game add-ons like Trader's Keep, in addition to new features like more challenging hardcore mode and 3D functionality. They go on to say, happy ruling.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fun. Do you know, I've never played Fable, so I may have to grab this.
You've never played Fable?
I've never played Fable.
Ginger, I need you to get the Fable. I need you to get the GTA so that you understand why I say these are the 2 of the most prolific games of our generation.
She's going to cut me.
I am.
Take my geek card.
No, I'm not going to take your geek card, but you got to play. You got to play to understand why we're going crazy. Some games are not, you know, the hype is not justified. I say these 2 are. Well, Fable 3 is I'm going to say, it's not as good as the, you know, Fable 2, and Fable 1 sucked. And, y'all, I'm not going to go into my tirade again. You know why. I'll tell Ginger after the show. But
no, you told me. You told me.
Mm-hmm. So but Fable 2 was absolutely wonderful. And Fable 3 is not far behind. I did like it. It's just too short.
Aww.
And I didn't like that I didn't look evil enough. I still look too lightweight to be evil. Maybe I'll have my settings turned
on. We don't like short things.
Yes. But if I'm evil, I want people to just be like, oh, my God. I want the horns growing out of my eye and stuff. And I was still a pretty evil girl. I don't want to be pretty and evil.
No. If you're going to be evil, you got to be all evil.
And might I also say, Ubisoft, the other thing I didn't like about Fable 3, I need to be able to make my own avatar. Unless I miss something at setup, I want to create my girl from the ground up. That's a good thing to give us. If you don't believe us, you ask those people up there. At Valve, because we like that.
Yes.
Simple. They know. We like to make our avatar. Okay, we got a few minutes left. We got time. We got time for another story.
Yay, another story.
Okay, those of you who love your L.A. Noir, we got a trailer up for you about 20 minutes ago. You can go and check that out. I swear I hear somebody coming in my door, so if I start screaming, y'all come get me.
I'll be there in like 6 hours.
They'll be dead when you get here, but still come get me.
Bury the body.
In my backyard, no less. Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Barbecue for Easter.
I'll even bring a goat.
No.
People ask, why is your ground torn up? Oh, it was goat.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying we were going to eat the goat. See, I was like, no.
No.
All right. Well, those of you, speaking of Apple, as we were a short time ago, well, Apple is definitely not short on cash. Their profits hit $5.99 billion in their second quarter. We just entered the second quarter, in case you didn't know. The second quarter financial results for Apple show revenues of $24.6 billion for the iPhone and iPad. iPhone. Did I say iPhone? That's good. I think I like that. iPhone and iPad maker with a staggering $5.99 billion in profits for the first 3 months, which ended on March 26th. Revenues rose significantly from $13.5 billion at the same time last year, and a total of 59% of all the revenues coming from outside of the U.S. profits were up here in the U.S. from $3.7 billion at the same time last year. A total of 3.76 million Macs, up 28%, were sold during the quarter, along with 18.6 million iPhones, up 113%, 9.2 billion iPods, down from previous results, but ahead of internal estimates, and 4.69 million iPads, including the iPad 2. Lifetime sales for all iOS devices are now put at 189 million, although speaking in the company's financial conference call, CFO Peter Oppenheimer did not break the figure down by formats. Well, he could go the way of Steam and say, it ain't none of your business.
And none of your business.
Ain't none of your business what we do. So if you want to check that out, if you love the facts and figures, I like to know how much money they're making so I can know if they're justified in charging me what they charge for their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you got $5.9 billion, you need to drop the price of that that iPhone, and you need to move it over to Virgin Mobile, because I'm not going anywhere. I'll buy an Android first. I say,
And she does that too all the time. She even does that to me in text.
Arms folded, the pout and everything.
Exactly. Threatening to cut me all the time.
Do not. I never threaten to cut you.
Okay, all right. She's right. She threatens to cut other people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I see how you're looking at Ginger. I will cut you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. So we got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to throw one in here. History, Egypt, Engineering, and Empire, and Smash Hit on the iPad. Slytherin.com and Matrix, the MatrixGames.com, and Bloober Team are proud to announce that History, Egypt, Engineering, and Empire has been received as a smash hit on the iPad.
Yay!
After only a few days of being released on the iPad platform, History, Egypt, Engineering, and Empire hit the top spot for both strategy games and board games in many of the iTunes stores across the globe. The game is... The game has sat on the top 10 strategy games charts of all major stores worldwide and reached the top 5 in the U.S., among others. History, Egypt, Engineering, and Empire is the first Slytherin strategy game to reach the iPad for its, and it is part of the publisher's long-term strategy to bring true wargaming and strategy gaming to a host of new platforms. Ian McNeil, Development Director of Slytherin, says, "It's so thrilling to see true strategy gaming make it to iPad with success, and we hope to bring strategy gaming and wargaming to a wider variety of platforms as well. This definitely shows that there are a lot of potential new customers out there, and we need to be reaching out to them with the right type of product." Oh, seriously, come on, people. I know y'all are translating, and maybe it's your first translating game, or I don't know, job. I can't talk either at the moment, but y'all are killing me. This is bad. Oh, y'all hurt my poor little brain too early in the morning trying to translate your translation.
Oh.
You need to pay the monkeys in better quality bananas or something, people. true story.
It is that sad time of day for us. We must leave you now to your gaming devices. Go out into the world and game.
Game! Go forth and game. Kill many people. Headshot them. Yes.
No, we don't want to
Only in games. Only in the games. In the virtual world, do this.
You know,
not real life.
Yes. And remember, tonight, before I kick up the music, tonight we have the developers on from Ricochet, and they're giving us, or actually it's called Plastic Piranha. The game is called Ricochet. And they're giving us a sneak peek of what they're going to show at E3. And you may say, who the hell are they? But if you don't come listen to us now, you'll be like, oh, I should have been there when they were doing the interview that night. Now
what?
Exactly. After E3, you will know exactly who they are. Awesome people, I'm telling you.
Yay, I can't wait to meet them.
Yay, they'll be, I don't know if they'll be in chat. I should probably ask them.
Oh, you should get them in chat so I can derail them.
I'm nervous. I may have to put them in chat and then moderate. Okay, I'll tell you what.
Come on.
No,
good.
No, not you. You know, some of our nighttime people are a little raw. You people, we're all raw at night, but you all need to control yourself when we have guests over to our house.
Aww. But we keep our clothes on. Usually.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. There you go, Ginger. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yo. Oh, no.
Oh, no, you
did.
But you never pay me, never.
So we'll see you guys right now tomorrow or later on tonight.
Payback is coming.
Yay. We made it. We didn't cut anybody.
One more show tomorrow, and then
you ain't got a prayer. Yeah, you owe me.
You mean we're not offering Good Friday? Why did you take off? What's wrong with us?
We're not offering Good Friday?
Tomorrow's Good Friday, I think.
You want to say two for Good Friday?
Nope.
All right, just <didn't> here.
Too late. It's too late.
Well, I'm kind of rocking in my chair. I'm tired of me dancing in my chair. Corey kept me up pretty late last night.
What?
My ass. Oh, no, you,
you did.
Will bring annihilation at last. Oh, no, you did. It will be delicious.
We're leaving so I can cut Ginger.
Tomorrow. Oh, no,
you guys tomorrow. Charlotte, I mean tonight, yeah.
You will do the dance of sorrow. Oh, no, you
say bye, Ginger.
Bye, Ginger.